Sie hören eine Sendung von Schweizer Radio DRS.
Angefangen hat Douglas Trumbull als Grafiker für Science-Fiction-Romane. Aber dann traf er auf Stanley Kubrick und wurde durch die Konzept- und Animationsarbeit an dessen Film 2001 – A Space Odyssey zum gefragten Spezialisten für die Darstellung, aber auch die Umsetzung der Zukunft im Kino. Michael Sennhauser hat den 68-jährigen Tüftler getroffen und sich von ihm erzählen lassen, wie es war und ist, zur technischen Avantgarde des großen Unterhaltungskinos zu gehören.
Also sprach Zarathustra. Das Tongedicht von Richard Strauss wird, zumindest von Cinephilen, wohl immer mit Stanley Kubricks Meisterwerk 2001 – A Space Odyssey verbunden bleiben. Ebenso wie Johann Strauss' Donauwalzer mit den majestätischen Bildern der rotierenden Weltraumstation im gleichen Film. Der Mann, der Kubrick dabei half, diese und andere Science-Fiction-Bilder zu konzipieren, ist Douglas Trumbull. Trumbull, der als 20-jähriger Grafiker zu Beginn der 60er Jahre bei einer kleinen Animationsfilmfirma in Los Angeles angefangen hatte. Die produzierten damals animierte Filmsequenzen für Firmen wie NASA oder die Air Force und ich bekam einen Job bei denen, weil ich unzählige Buchumschläge für Science-Fiction und Weltraumbücher entworfen hatte, erzählt der heute 68-Jährige.
Well, I was working at this small animation company in Los Angeles called Graphic Films. And this company contracted for many space-oriented films for the U.S. government, for the Air Force, for NASA, about space. And because of that specialty, and I got a job there because I was very interested in science fiction. My portfolio was full of science fiction book cover art of alien planets and weird spacecraft, and so I got a job there.
Und dann bekam Graphic Films den Auftrag für einen 15-minütigen Weltraumfilm für die New Yorker Weltausstellung von 1964 und ich machte alle Entwürfe dafür.
Then that company, Graphic Films, got a job to do a film for the New York World's Fair in 1964, which was called To the Moon and Beyond, which was a kind of trip through the universe from the Big Bang to the microcosm in 15 minutes. And I did all the artwork for that film. It was all multiplane photography and special effects.
Stanley Kubrick und der Science-Fiction-Autor Arthur C. Clarke waren damals in den frühen Planungsphasen für das, was später 2001 – A Space Odyssey werden sollte. Sie sahen den Film an der Weltausstellung und sie mochten ihn.
So I did that, and Kubrick and Clarke had gone to the New York World's Fair and liked that film very much. They were studying giant screen cinema. And it was projected onto a huge dome screen in a large theater. And they were also studying Cinerama, because it was the epic medium of the time, and it was just transforming into 70 millimeter. So anyway, I was working for Graphic Films, doing some initial developmental illustrations for what was called then A Journey Beyond the Stars. Before it was called 2001.
Also bekam Graphic Films einen Auftrag für erste Entwürfe für dieses Projekt, das damals noch Journey Beyond the Stars hieß. Ich arbeitete an diesen Entwürfen, aber Kubrick hatte ich nie getroffen. Der war in New York und ich an der Westküste. Und dann beschloss Kubrick, den Film in London zu machen, siedelte nach England über und beendete den Vertrag mit Graphic Films.
And I never met Stanley Kubrick because he was in New York and I was in L.A. And so we did these developments, and then because he decided to make 2001 in London and move to London, he terminated the contract with Graphic Films. I got laid off. I had no job. And I told my boss, Con Pedersen, who later became a big participant in the film as well, I said, I would like to work on this Kubrick movie. I think he's fantastic, you know. We'd all seen Dr. Strangelove and knew this guy was an amazing filmmaker.
Ich wurde bei Graphic Films entlassen. Dabei hätte ich liebend gerne für Kubrick weitergearbeitet. Ich bat meinen ehemaligen Boss bei Graphic Films um einen Kontakt zu Kubrick. Aber der sagte, den kann ich dir nicht geben. Aber wenn du unten am Anschlagbrett genau hinschaust, findest du dort seine Telefonnummer.
I asked my boss Con Pedersen. I said, how can I get a hold of Kubrick? And he said, I'm under contract. I can't tell you. I work exclusively for graphic films, and I can't divulge that. It's a company secret. I said, come on, you got to tell me. And he said, well, if you looked hard, you would see that Kubrick's phone number is penciled into the corner of the bulletin board in the hallway. And I said, okay, I'll go back where I was no longer employed and find the phone number.
Da habe ich also Kubrick angerufen und erklärt, ich würde gern an seinem Film weiterarbeiten. Und Kubrick schickte mir ein Flugticket nach London.
And I called Kubrick and I said, well, I've been working on your movie, you don't know me, but I'd love to come and work on your movie. And he said, fine, that sounds great. So I've never known exactly what Con Pedersen or anyone said to Kubrick about me, but he immediately accepted that I should come and sent me an airplane ticket.
Mein erster Job war der Entwurf der Anzeigen für den Supercomputer HAL im Film. Es gab damals ja noch keine Computergrafik.
And it was a wonderful experience in the sense that I was there, I started out just working on animation things. The first project I had was the HAL readouts. All this fake computer graphics that we had to do because there were no such thing as computer graphics at the time.
Und als uns klar wurde, dass Kubrick 16 animierte Bildschirme gleichzeitig haben wollte für HAL, mussten wir ganz neue Animationstechniken entwickeln, um das rechtzeitig hinzukriegen.
And because we realized that Kubrick wanted 16 of these movies running simultaneously on projectors in the centrifuge and other places on the set, that we needed thousands and thousands of feet of animation. So in order to just survive and achieve our goal, we had to figure out a new way to do animation.
Das war der erste Schritt meiner Spezialisierung zum Problemlöser und Technikentwickler.
So instead of using traditional techniques, we designed our own technique. So that was like the first step in my going through a big learning curve of how to solve problems.
Dass selbst heute noch fast alle technischen Details in 2001 überzeugen, liegt vor allem am extremen Destillationsprozess von Kubrick. Probiert haben wir alles. Auf jedes Einzelbild im fertigen Film kommen 200, die schließlich nicht gebraucht wurden.
Well, I think one of the big factors about that, which pervades the entire film, was a process of extreme austerity and distillation. It wasn't that we didn't try things like that. I mean, we had all, for every frame of film in the movie, there's 200 more that didn't get used. So we made a lot of mistakes, and we did a lot of things that were probably inappropriate or inaccurate. But Kubrick himself had a tremendous way and style of distilling things down to their essence.
Kubrick reduzierte alles auf die Essenz. Es gibt kaum Detailaufnahmen von den Raumschiffen, dafür immer wieder diese langen, sehnsüchtigen Einstellungen, nicht viele davon, sondern immer wieder einfach die perfekte Einstellung.
There's not a lot of coverage, there's not a lot of editorial close-ups coverage, you know, cutting back and forth in the movie. There is these long dwelling shots of the perfect shot rather than a lot of imperfect shots. And that pervaded all the art direction and all the design.
Spezialisten wie der deutsche Raketendesigner Hans-Kurt Lange waren darum besorgt, dass die technischen Details stets plausibel blieben.
The fact that Harry Lange, who was one of the designers, who was an actual pre-NASA German spacecraft designer, helped, you know, make all those designs actually functional. I mean, there was a lot of thought about how could it actually work.
Bei Graphic Films war ich der Spezialist für Raketenflammen gewesen. Aber bei 2001 merkten wir bald, wie falsch die immer aussahen. Und so haben wir sie schließlich einfach weggelassen.
Things came along, like in early films we'd done at Graphic Films, I was a specialist in creating animated rocket flames. And I had all kinds of rocket flames I'd made for Titan rockets and for Apollo and for the Saturn V rockets and everything. And I expected, well, this will work great for 2001. And we tried it. Like, one of the first jobs was the rocket bus on the moon. Well, when it lands, you'd have to see these flames coming out of the box. Well, it looked terrible.
Wir kamen öfters zum Schluss, dass auch im Kino weniger mehr bedeutet.
And we started realizing that this movie was calling for more quality than we had ever experienced before. But we often came to the conclusion that less is more, and that to just leave them out entirely actually was okay. So even though the pods are maneuvering, you never see little bursts of jet fuel coming out of the rocket nozzles on the pod or any spacecraft in the movie. And no one critiques that.
Wesentlich war eben dieser Destillationsprozess von Kubrick. Ihm war klar, dass das Kinopublikum bereit ist, seine Ungläubigkeit im Hinblick auf Details vorübergehend aufzugeben, wenn der Film bei den wichtigen Aspekten liefert, was er soll.
I think it was this distillation process that Kubrick went through, which was that if it didn't look completely convincing, it was better not to even try. It was better to delete it and move on. Because there's an interesting phenomena that I think Kubrick knew a lot about at the time, which is the audience's willingness to suspend their disbelief and move on and follow the action and the story without critiquing the fact that there shouldn't be any sound in space or there should be rocket flames or any number of things, as long as the movie is delivering on other elements that are more important.
Auch wenn man heute immer wieder behauptet, die allgegenwärtige Computergrafik im aktuellen Kino sorge dafür, dass wir das Staunen verlernen, ich bin nicht sicher, ob das nicht eben doch funktioniert. Ich habe erstaunliche Effekte gesehen, in Piratenfilmen, in Lord of the Rings, Dinge, von denen wir vor 20 Jahren nicht einmal geträumt hätten.
Well, I'm not sure that it doesn't, it's not that it doesn't work. I mean, I see some amazing, stunning effects in pirate movies and, you know, Lord of the Rings. I mean, I just see amazing things that we could never even attempt to do 20 years ago.
Aber es stimmt, da besteht die Tendenz zum Overkill, zur Gier nach immer mehr. Ich denke nach wie vor, dass weniger mehr ist und dass ein einziger starker Effekt zum Aufhänger für einen ganzen Film werden kann.
And so I'm amazed, but it's kind of an overkill, it's kind of a gluttonous effects, more effects are somehow better. And I've always felt that less is more. I'm much more of Stanley Kubrick's style about that, that I always look for a moment in a film to do something that's kind of stunningly awesome and austere and simple and elegant, but to where the moment itself becomes kind of a spokesperson for the intent of the film.
Ich habe so einen Moment inszeniert für Robert Wise, für den ersten der Star Trek Kinofilme. Es ist dieser Moment, in dem das Raumschiff Enterprise zum ersten Mal zu sehen ist. Alle, selbst der Schiffskapitän Kirk, mussten davon überwältigt werden.
Like in Star Trek, I worked on Star Trek and there was a moment where they finally revealed the Enterprise. You know, Captain Kirk is approaching the Enterprise in this little pod. And I said to Robert Wise, I think this is the moment where everybody has to stop talking. There's no action, no drama, no suspense, no conflict. You just have to have your jaw drop because the Enterprise has to be so beautiful. And he has to be awestruck.
Das war schon so beim sogenannten Stargate für 2001. Ich versuche, aus solchen Szenen immer Momente zu machen, die für sich selber sprechen.
When I get a Stargate to work on, I try to make it a moment that speaks for itself. So there's a difference between an effect that is a story-related event versus something that really is kind of going beyond story into some kind of experiential territory.
Es gibt einen Unterschied zwischen einem Effekt, der in der Geschichte eines Films angelegt ist, und einem, der darüber hinausweist, auf eine Art Erfahrungsebene. James Cameron kennt sich damit gut aus. Er hat es in frühen Filmen wie Terminator oder The Abyss bewiesen. Und ich bin nicht sicher, ob er das Gefühl dafür mit Avatar tatsächlich verloren hat. Cameron ist versessen auf extreme technische Herausforderungen.
Well, I'm not sure I would say that James Cameron lost it with Avatar. I think that James is a kind of a filmmaker who is very infatuated with extreme technical challenges. And I think that Avatar is all about going into some completely new alternate territory.
Avatar ist letztlich eine Reise in ein komplett neues, alternatives Territorium. Seine unglücklicherweise viel zu aufwendige und langwierige Technik, die Bewegungen der Schauspieler zu digitalisieren und danach in der Postproduktion mit ihnen diese großartigen Kamerabewegungen zu machen, das kommt schon einer außerkörperlichen Erfahrung sehr nahe.
I'm a big admirer of what unfortunately was way too expensive to do, took too long to do, etc. But the whole idea of allowing real actors to represent themselves, even though they were going to be converted into avatars or, you know, synthetic characters. at a different scale or something. But the whole idea of creating this virtual world that he's shooting in, to where after the actors have performed their stunts or their moves or their whatever, that he can then, in post-production, go in and reframe the camera and do camera moves that to me are like out-of-body experiences.
Dass man da einfach von einer Klippe springen kann in Avatar, hunderte von Metern im freien Fall und diese Drachen verfolgen, das interessiert mich schon sehr. Avatar ist kein perfekter Film, es gibt gar keine perfekten Filme, aber ich meinerseits habe viel von ihm gelernt.
You know, that you could leap off a cliff and go, drive 1,000 feet and chase one of these dragon creatures is very, very interesting to me. And so I don't think Avatar is a perfect film. I don't think there are any perfect films. But I always look for things that I can learn from them, that I can use in some way for myself. I don't intend to make a movie like Avatar, but I learn a lot when I see a movie like Avatar.
Mein eigener Film, Brainstorm, von 1983, war ursprünglich als Plattform für meinen Showscan-Filmprozess geplant. Es ging darum, statt mit den üblichen 24 Bildern pro Sekunde auf 35 mm Film, mit 60 Bildern pro Sekunde auf 70 mm Film zu drehen. Damit bekamen die Aufnahmen einen unglaublichen Realismus. Die Leinwand wurde zu einer Art Fenster auf die Realität.
Well, one of the aspects of Brainstorm that is not very well known is that it was really designed and conceived as a platform for my Showscan film process. And the Showscan film process was a way of breaking all the traditional rules of cinema and shooting and projecting at 60 frames per second, which created this incredible illusion of realism. It was as though the screen became a window onto reality.
Wenn es funktioniert hätte, wäre das ein Paradigmenwechsel im Kino geworden.
And that was a paradigm shifter for movies. There could have been if it had happened.
Es hat damals nicht funktioniert. Der Film wurde ganz konventionell gedreht, vor allem darum, weil die Kinobesitzer nicht bereit waren, neue Hochleistungsprojektoren in ihre Kinos einzubauen. Wir hatten geplant, in Brainstorm Showscan und normale Filmtechnik nebeneinander einzusetzen, damit die Unterschiede augenfällig wurden.
So we had designed Brainstorm to cut back and forth between Showscan and normal 35mm film, so that you could telegraph the difference.
Und die Geschichte, bei der es darum ging, dass ein Team von Wissenschaftlern einen Recorder für Gehirnwellen entwickelt hatte, der persönliche Erfahrungen, wie Filme direkt ins Gehirn von anderen projizieren konnte, die Geschichte, die war daraufhin angelegt, zu zeigen, dass diese alternative Welt durchaus Suchtpotenzial haben könnte.
And the story was designed to telegraph the idea that this alternate world in Brainstorm, of the mental world, was actually more seductive and more compelling than ordinary life. And therefore people could get hooked on it like a drug. So whether it was sex or some alternate reality or in fact the story and idea of the military getting a hold of it and using it for training people to kill or something.
Kino als erweiterte Wahrnehmung, das interessiert mich noch immer.
That is about, it's about my whole career. The whole idea of pushing into some alternate reality that's powerfully compelling.
2001, A Space Odyssey, entstand 1967 im Übergang der Hippie-Kultur zur Drogenkultur. Wir waren uns zwar bewusst, dass da eine neue Kultur am Entstehen war, aber daran dachten wir nicht, als wir den Film machten.
No, I think that we were really not of that mind at all. There was nothing about hippie culture or psychedelics or anything. We were certainly conscious of the movement happening at the time. And I, even when I was in London, I went to some big raves and, you know, psychedelic projections and music and everything. It was really quite spectacular. But we weren't thinking about that when we made the movie. Our objective was really quite clinical about another dimension in space and time, the universe, and all kinds of other things. And we had this objective to obtain. And I came up with some of these photographic techniques to create the Stargate and things like that.
Erst etwa einen Monat nach dem Filmstart begann einer der PR-Leute, den Film als Ultimate Trip zu vermarkten. Das leuchtete den Leuten sofort ein.
No, it was only until a month after the movie opened that this new audience started adopting the movie as the Ultimate Trip. And one of the PR guys on the movie used that term, the Ultimate Trip. And everybody said, oh yeah, oh now I get it. Now I know what I'm supposed to expect from this movie. And it took on a whole new life and a whole new audience.
Das gab dem Film ein komplett neues Leben und ein zusätzliches Publikum. Die ganze Stargate-Sequenz am Ende des Films wurde zum Inbegriff der bewusstseinserweiternden Drogenkultur. Dabei haben Stanley Kubrick und ich und viele andere im Team ganz bewusst nie mit Drogen experimentiert.
I think in 2001, that whole Stargate thing and the whole drug culture that was emerging at that time. I mean, I know Stanley Kubrick and I and many others working on that movie all consciously chose to never do drugs because we saw too many people who were doing LSD. And then they would look at some ordinary thing, you know, like this table in front of us, and they say, oh, wow, the grain is such a trip. I'm going there, you know, and they would lose their balance. They would lose their capability to be critical. And so we all decided we're not ever going there because we will lose our ability to do this work.
Wir hatten nicht vor, unsere Balance, unsere kritische Distanz zu verlieren. Ich war schon früh ein Fan der kleinen kanadischen Firma IMAX, die mit 70mm Film im Querformat auf riesigen Leinwänden ein komplett neues Kinoerlebnis entwickelt hat. Allerdings zeigten die am Anfang immer nur Reise- und Dokumentarfilme.
I wasn't so much involved in developing IMAX as I was a fan of IMAX. And there was a period in time, I can't remember the exact year, but it was in the mid-80s. When IMAX was a struggling company, it was a small Canadian company doing these theaters in world's fairs and science museums and natural history museums, and had nothing but travelogues. And I kept saying, I said, we've got to bring this. This medium is so powerful. It's better than Cinerama ever was. And we should be using it for making big epic motion pictures.
Ich war der Meinung, das Riesenformat sei stärker als es Cinerama je gewesen ist und man sollte es eigentlich für große epische Spielfilme einsetzen. Gleichzeitig hatte ich eine Firma gestartet, die Riot Films hieß und entstanden war aus der Entwicklung der erfolgreichen Themenpark Vergnügungsanlage nach den Back to the Future Filmen der Universal Studios.
And a circumstance occurred where I had a company that I was just starting up called Riot Film. Which was over. I mean, it was subsequent to the Back to the Future ride, which was so successful at Universal Studios, and I developed a way to do that as a kind of a new technology product for theme parks and world's fairs. And I met some investment bankers in New York, and I suggested. I said, "Why don't we combine these companies and buy IMAX, make some kind of a IPO?" This was a crazy idea for me. But I said, I think this makes sense to actually bring IMAX into the commercial marketplace.
Ich habe dann vorgeschlagen, die beiden Firmen zu kombinieren. Wir trieben Kapital auf, machten eine Art Roadshow für den Börsengang und das funktionierte bestens.
And so they agreed and we formed a little partnership and found an investment banking firm in New York and put out an IPO, acquired IMAX, took it public. It was a very successful offering. We had a what they call an IPO roadshow, which is a lot of fun where you fly in a private jet to all the financial centers of the world and do presentations. And everyone thought this was a great idea to bring IMAX into the commercial marketplace. And sure enough, it worked really great.
Beim nächsten Schritt, IMAX 3D, gibt es die gleichen Probleme, welche die aktuelle 3D-Technik generell hat. Die traditionellen 24 Bilder pro Sekunde genügen einfach nicht mehr. Das sagt auch James Cameron.
Well, I think that there's some technical issues going on with IMAX 3D and 3D in general that I've been talking about for quite some time now and Jim Cameron talks about publicly as well, which is that 24 frame per second photography and projection isn't adequate for 3D. 3D demands more, demands a higher frame rate in order to get rid of the blurring and strobing that normally happens in movies.
Bei schnellen Actionsequenzen fällt 3D bei den Standardbildraten in sich zusammen. Mit dem ersten IMAX 3D-Film Beowulf war das nicht so schlimm, weil der weniger Action hatte. Aber Avatar funktionierte im IMAX 3D nicht wirklich.
So, 3D kind of falters on fast action. Beowulf had kind of less intense fast action than Avatar, for example. And so, I think it would work well in IMAX 3D. I had a hard time watching Avatar in IMAX 3D because the motion is so fast that it breaks down on the giant screen and I actually preferred it on a smaller screen.
Dabei wäre das mittlerweile nicht mehr wirklich ein Problem. Denn mit der Digitalisierung nicht nur des Filmprozesses, sondern auch der Kinos, wie sie mit der 3D-Revolution mittlerweile vollzogen ist, gibt es die Limite von 24 Bildern pro Sekunde eigentlich nicht mehr.
It gets into a long technical discussion, but I think that the whole issue of frame rates and aspect ratios and color saturation and brightness and all kinds of other technical issues are now open for reconsideration because of digital cinematography and digital projection. We're no longer limited by sprocketed plastic.
Filmrollen und Plastikspulen behindern uns nicht mehr. Ich möchte selber wieder Spielfilme machen und ich studiere die Möglichkeiten des digitalen Kinos.
Well, I'm back to developing some features that I'd like to direct. And I'm studying the potential of electronic cinematography and digital filmmaking and digital projection. And I believe that it's now possible to make really stunning, what I call science fiction, special effects type movies for a relatively modest amount of money. It doesn't need to cost $300 million.
Vor allem interessieren mich die High-Speed-Techniken mit mehr Bildern pro Sekunde. Mein ursprünglicher Showscan-Prozess ist gescheitert, weil wir die Kinobetreiber nicht dazu bringen konnten, schnellere Projektoren zu kaufen.
And so for me it's a kind of freeing opportunity to make movies that have a completely different look, and I do want to explore higher frame rates for myself and show the audience kind of in the way I was trying to show with Brainstorm what Showscan would have been like. I think it's now possible to actually do it, because in the days of Brainstorm we couldn't do Showscan because we couldn't get all the theaters to buy new projectors.
Die aktuellen digitalen Projektoren in den Kinos schaffen aber problemlos bis zu 144 Bilder pro Sekunde.
Today the projectors in theaters can run at 144 frames a second effortlessly. And so all you have to do is provide that projector with a different database in the server, which is just a little thing like a, you know, a hard drive. And we're actually experimenting now with faster frame rates and trying to see what's the optimum speed, what's the optimum cost, would it increase production cost at all, if any, and explore that new territory.
Damit experimentieren wir zurzeit. Wir wollen herausfinden, was die optimalen Geschwindigkeiten wären, ob das ohne zusätzliche Produktionskosten machbar wäre. Der Erfolg von Avatar hat gezeigt, dass es ein Publikum gibt für alternative Realitätserfahrungen.
One of the things that Avatar has demonstrated is that there's a huge audience for kind of alternate reality experiences. That there's a quality about Avatar which takes you to another world that a lot of people seem to enjoy, and I think it's a separate quality from the story itself or the drama itself. It's a story of immersiveness and participation in some alternate experience, which could be applied to any kind of story.
Das ist es, woran ich zurzeit arbeite, ganz unabhängig und günstig.
So I'm exploring that and I hope to bring it to the screen pretty soon.
Ich bin nicht sicher, ob die großen Produktionsfirmen überhaupt interessiert sind an billigeren Filmen. Die haben ihr ganzes Zeltmastenkonzept, wo Unsummen in die Produktion künstlicher Riesenkisten gesteckt werden und dann noch einmal fast gleich viele Millionen in die Werbekampagnen.
Well, I'm not even sure that the major studios want you to make a movie for less money. They have a big machine going to where they like these Batman-type blockbuster summer movies that cost $200 million and cost $50 million to promote. And so a $25 million movie doesn't kind of fit their mold very well.
Aber ich glaube, zur Zeit entsteht auch eine neue Welt für unabhängige Filmemacher. Dank Internet, Breitband und Video on Demand können wir Filme ans Publikum bringen, ohne uns von den traditionellen Verleihstrukturen abhängig zu machen.
But I think that there is an emerging new world for independent filmmakers, because of the electronic medium and the internet and servers and the ability for individuals to access movies directly without them having to go through the circuit of a major film distribution company.
Ich arbeite sozusagen von meiner Farm in Massachusetts aus. Es ist erstaunlich, was ein kleines Team mittlerweile relativ günstig hinkriegen kann, mit absolut erstaunlichem Look. Diese Art Filme zu machen funktioniert fast schon so einfach wie ein Hobby.
We have a very beautiful home and I have a workshop and a studio and I can work things at home, and I'm finding out that it's quite amazing what you can do with a very small group of people in a very small space and make what looks completely amazing. So that's what it's like, a hobby really.
Sie hörten eine Sendung von Schweizer Radio DRS. Mehr Informationen auf drs2.ch.